Ketchikan,
Kotzebue,
Dillingham,
Sitka,
Chugiak,
Fairbanks,
Fort Yukon,
Wrangell,
Barrow, Unalaska, Dutch Harbor,
Alaknarechamute.
This is AK on Alaska News Nightly. I'm Eric Bork. This week on AK, the history of the historic Iditarod Trail. For 46 years, the sled dog race has traced a 1,000-mile path from Anchorage, or Willow, up to Nome. But the original route actually started in Seward and only existed for a few years' time, the product of gold rushes, boom towns, and a creeping interest by the federal government. This year's race along the southern route passed through the ghost town of Iditarod, which Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes explored to learn about the origins of the historic trail.
During the race, Iditarod is first and foremost a checkpoint, and under a bright midday sun, Mitch Seavey greets one of his main rivals, Nick Petit.
Hello, Nick. Afternoon. What a lovely ride.
Yeah.
The site gets its name from the Iditarod River it sits on, an adaptation of the Deghitan Athabaskan name, which means the distant place. Checkpoint is the remnant of a large town that was once here, straddling the river.
The fact remains that it was a major commercial operation with a bank, with their own electric system, with a couple of hotels, the typical brothel and shoe stores, and it served a lot of people.
Jim Paulus is a race judge, and he knows this checkpoint intimately. This side of the river had homes, a blacksmith shop, and more, but it's a shadow of its former self. In 1908, gold was discovered within what became known as the Iditarod Mining District, a vast area from Ruby on the Yukon River all the way down to the drainages of the upper Kuskokwim. It was an unexploited terrain within the state that prospectors called the Inland Empire. A gold rush kicked off by 1910, and the town Iditarod became a hub of a few thousand residents, serving a greater population of 10,000. At the time, Paula says, it was one of the most populous parts of the state.
You had boatloads of people coming and going, and miners coming in, leaving, coming back in and out, a very fluid community.
On the other side of the river are the skeletal wooden husks of old buildings that haven't yet totally collapsed. Iditarod was one of Alaska's last big gold stampedes. A decade prior, the boom in Nome had brought 20,000 to 30,000 people to the Seward Peninsula. Locked in by sea ice for much of the year, in the long winters, there was virtually no way for people to get out or bring much in. Most of the newcomers were from the United States, and the federal government had an interest in connecting them with some semblance of services. The Alaska Road Commission began scouting a unified trail that could connect Nome with the ice-free harbor in Seward to facilitate travel and freighting mail. After the rush brought traffic and commerce to the sparsely populated Inland Empire, a route was forged through the Iditarod boomtown.
Can you say hi? That would be a no.
Iditarod doesn't get many tourists, but today there are three.
Danica Saunders.
Woodson Saunders.
The couple also has their not-quite-two-year-old daughter, Atlee, who is usually either carried or towed around in a small plastic sled. The Saunders fly along the trail in a Super Cub, turning the sled dog race into a kind of hearty family spring break, stopping along the trail to explore. Right now, we've all crawled through a window into a long, two-story structure that's folding in on itself on one side, like a devastated gingerbread house.
Fallen down, collapsing, collapsed. Deteriorating old building.
The town of Iditarod didn't last long. It surged after 1910. By 1920, much of the gold had been scratched out of the land, and the census that year notes 50 year-round residents living here. By 1940, the number was one. The departures were so quick, there are remnants of everyday life still scattered on the floor and taped to the walls.
Some old Dawson Fairbanks standing in a bed, and a lot of... Then there's like Susie...
It's like a barge schedule.
It is a barge schedule, yeah.
What we call the Iditarod Trail today was, in fact, a series of traditional indigenous routes that were stitched together to the commercial pathways blazed by fortune-seeking newcomers. But that was also part of the trail's problem. Almost no one trafficked the full Seward to Nome route. It was only actually used by dog drivers under a federal contract to haul mail for a few years in the 1910s. After 1918, those mail runs were routed through Fairbanks. Next to the big building, we peek into a crumpled, smaller structure, which inside looks like it must have been a home.
Old wainscoting on the ceiling and walls. wood abandoned ghost town building.
There's an irony to the Iditarod sled dog race now being in its 46th year, having survived longer than either the town or the historic Iditarod Trail itself ever did. For AK, I'm Zachariah Hughes.